A Tricky Kid Media original presentation distributed by iHeartRadio. Hey, all you fans, marks, and jeerers. Get ready for an exciting bout of no-holds-barred fun. I'm Dana French, and this is Wrestling. Welcome to an exciting addition to the Tricky Kid Radio Podcast Network, where we take on all corners in the world of professional wrestling. We will be talking with legends from the past, the best talent of today, and rising stars of the future. Don't miss weekly post-show analysis, guest commentary, and live remotes from the matches with your host, a veteran of calling the action ringside, Roy Turner.
Welcome to this week's edition of This Is Wrestling. I'm your host, as always, Roy Turner. What a big weekend. Maybe one of the biggest in recent memory. Survivor Series 2023, one of the original Big Four pay-per-views, or they like to say now PLE, Premium Live Event. In Chicago, welcome back to the program, my man on the West Coast, Warrior Dave. Major return. Expected, unexpected, and anticipated, but still no less shocking. Kicked off with the women's match, the one I was looking forward to most. Bianca Belair, Charlotte, and Becky on the same team for the first time. The best female Japanese wrestlers of all time, Asuka, Io, and a Kairi Sane, who I have to say is on my Mount Rushmore of female wrestlers. I absolutely love her and was super excited to see her return. She delivered majestically, especially when she enters the ring and took that trash can lid and just bitch slapped Shotzi back to the Stone Age, man. You didn't see Shotzi for a while, and then when you saw her again, she was literally covered in blood.
Yeah.
There was a pool of her blood.
I did notice it was red in her face.
She got hit and didn't show her on camera for 20 minutes. Next time they showed her, she had traces of blood all over her. I thought that was strange. The referee did not put on gloves. After the match, they didn't pull the mat back like they normally do and replace it. They were wrestling in Shotzi's blood. Really weird. I have never understood the concept of war games or its necessity. I love Dusty Rhodes, and I know it was his concept, and he's known for coming up with some pretty out there shit, part of the creative team for WCW. War games is not an original WWE concept like the Royal Rumble or the Survivor Series. You don't normally see two rings together and they're both surrounded by a cage. The whole thing seems a little unnecessary.
That is a good question, actually. I never quite figured that part out. I think it's just because it's a unique spectacle of it.
If you escape the cage, you actually lose and forfeit, yeah. Versus how you're used to, instead of victory. Then you have two teams, usually four or five on each team, and they're in the shark cages at the entry ramp. It's only then when everybody is in the ring at the same time is truly when war games begins, which is insane because by that time, the match has been going on for like 25 or 30 minutes because two people start out for 5 minutes.
And then it goes every other 5 minutes as well.
Asuka, Io Sky, and Kairi Sane on the same team is just
going. Io Sky jumping off the 20-foot top of the cage with the trash can over her head.
I mean, they step.
It's like a dumbwaiter, Cole.
That's another way to get the garbage can into the cage. Io Sky now has a trash can in hand at the top of the cage.
You hear Io's every move, like Jacob Marley up there in War Games, that chain clanging around everywhere.
What is she doing? What on earth is Io Sky have in mind here? She's standing on the top of the cage with a trash can.
Ah,
She's the genius of the sky, but this is ridiculous. Oh my God! Io Sky from the top of the cage!
Charlotte and Becky made amends on live TV.
It's always really neat to break character for a second and pull back the curtain and have a real moment to find a way for these two to be together.
Look who's standing tall now.
Working together for the good of the team.
Everybody looked strong, especially Bayley. A lot of great spots that reminded people she is one of the four original four horsewomen. Cool to see Stephanie McMahon in the audience.
While we take a short commercial break, you should too, from trying to get yourself over. And since you're listening to this, you probably have disposable income. So let our great sponsors tell you how to put it to good use.
Our next show is December the 16th.
I would.
And we were just at the Iron Claw premiere when it comes to theaters on December 22nd. On.
What's up? It's everyone's favorite wrestler, the Glamour, Mariah May, and you're listening to This Is Wrestling with Roy Turner.
Gunter has this fun program with The Miz. Santos Escobar faced Dragon Lee. It was a 7-minute singles match. It was just kind of, you know, it was good, but filler. Rhea Ripley versus Zoe Stark, kind of the same thing, went 9 minutes. Rhea looking dominant as ever. The men's War Games match was awesome. The returning Randy Orton, a wonderful return, and people happy to see him.
It gets people to stop speculating CM Punk would return. He got jacked. Yes.
I thought he looked very impressive as well, and he looked great in the ring.
He has anything left to prove.
He's not a part-timer, but he's not doing weekly mid-card storylines. Everything has to have that big fight feel. And just killed it. I thought everybody in that looked strong. The way they told that story was just incredible. And it'll be very interesting to see where we go from here. But I felt like if I had to pick between the women's or the men's, I felt like that the women's was the match of the night. Triple H stacking the deck once more. Just one final stack of that already stacked deck.
CM Punk coming back to WWE.
If you watch at the very end, when they show the trademark in the corner of the screen, that's a signifier show's over. that's a wrap. So when he purposely showed the trademark, I got up and I almost missed it. All of a sudden I heard the opening chord to one of my favorite bands of all time, Living Color. It was the furthest thing from my mind. No diss on him, but I'm not a fan. I never have been. And quite frankly, I don't give a shit.
Can't deny the strong fan base. So.
It was the right thing to do to bring that much attention to the program that can have that reaction. It's a no-brainer. I love seeing how happy it made people.
That's really what counts. Regardless of what anybody thinks of him, the feeling fans get.
His debut in AEW was surreal.
Yeah.
He had returned to wrestling and you were seeing, like what does this mean? A palpable feeling of relief if you're a fan that he's back.
That's the beautiful thing about WWE is anything can happen. We've seen the unthinkable happen.
But CM Punk is the one guy, at least for me,
that nobody expected.
I almost forgot they were even in Chicago. I didn't hear any CM Punk chants.
It's been kind of speculated for the last couple of months.
They did a really good job of convincing me. For a guy like me that doesn't give a shit like at all, it still made me go, oh my God. I can only imagine what it was like for CM Punk people. And it made me happy because I got nothing against the guy. I just don't care.
Maybe he realizes this is his last hoorah, his last chance in wrestling.
His one brass ring, he's never got main event wrestling. So now that Vince McMahon is no longer a roadblock.
I could see the potential of him and Seth Rollins going 1-on-1.
After the falling out with AEW, if he had now gone to Impact Wrestling, that would look so beneath him. A screaming hometown All-State Arena going nuts, making that kind of money. And now the road to WrestleMania finally is in sight. He happens to be married to my all-time favorite.
If any good news comes out of CM Punk coming back to WWE,
can now finally lay the groundwork, if she's interested, to return to wrestling after all these years.
The potential is in high regard for AJ Lee. But yeah, we never know until it actually happens. I'll believe it when I see her. She's had a lot of injuries.
She's also coming into contract with another wrestling promotion. Just keep in mind, she's on the creative board of directors and part of the announce team for Women of Wrestling out in California. Yeah. Have you been to any of those tapings out there?
No, I haven't.
She also has a production company with Amy Garcia. And they've been writing comic books, producing films, and selling scripts. Did you see her in heels?
I saw clips, yes.
She looked fantastic. She looked like she could main event.
Royal Rumble's coming up, so we never know. Like
at number 30 in the Rumble, right?
I'm just glad Living Color is being played on WWE programming again.
I was at WrestleMania 29 when they played CM Punk to the ring. I was living in New York at the time. I'll make another WrestleMania 29 comparison. When people ask me, what is the loudest pop, crowd pop, you've ever heard in wrestling that you were present for? And the one I always tell them, speaking of AJ Lee, is when Dolph cashed in his Money in the Bank on Rio. You can use every euphemism in the world, like, oh, it blew the roof off the place. I was in that building that night with the hardcore European crowd from Mania all crammed into the Meadowlands Arena. When that happened, time stood still. The loudest, most emotional, and I have not seen anything even remotely compared to it. I wasn't there for this, but CM Punk's return was pretty insane. How does CM Punk's AEW
debut
compare to his return in WWE, just in terms of impact?
It's a different vibe.
AEW,
people were just happy to see him in general. He hadn't been involved with professional wrestling in 7 years.
Yeah.
But Survivor Series, they're trying to not get their hopes up.
To see him on WWE programming again, you're getting this full circle moment. If you saw Raw last night from Nashville, we have to have something that's going to feel as important and immediate as that initial speech he gave the night he debuted in AEW. That AEW debut gave him 23 minutes to talk, and he did that whole thing with the ice cream bars, was perfect and done so well. It made you feel you're never going to see him in WWE ring ever again. So I felt like what needed to happen last night at Raw was he needed to have a moment that was on par with that. And I felt it fell very short of that.
Well, the reason being they were short on time because the Dominic and Randy match went longer than it was supposed to.
Right. But even if he was given more time, it did its job.
It made its point, short and sweet.
It's almost like an apology. He's the last guy you're ever going to see eat crow and tuck his tail. In my mind, that was part of the agreement.
We're
going to give you a live microphone and our programming again. After everything that's gone down, you're essentially going to have to apologize in a sense. And that's why he disclaimed, this might not sound like CM Punk.
Seemed like they told him what they wanted him to say and he rolled with it. It does make him look like a hypocrite coming back to WWE after all the shit he's been saying about it over the last like 10 years.
It'll be very interesting to see where they go with the CM Punk storyline. Again, as you mentioned, the Royal Rumble is just around the corner. And before you know it, WrestleMania will be here. I will be in Philadelphia for the entire week. And December the 12th here in Dallas, Texas, is part of the Big 12. WWE actually will be in town doing a lot of stuff. And if you're in the Dallas-Fort Worth area on December the 16th, come to Addison, Texas, to the TSW Studios for our last major event of the year. Tell everybody where they can find you online.
Well, you guys can find me on like Instagram under Brave Warriors Experience.
Find us on This Is Wrestling under iHeartRadio. Find us under Twitter under This Is Wrestling Without the G. You can personally find me on Instagram under DJ Tricky Kid. From my man, Warrior, once again, this was Survivor Series live recap from 2023. Good to see you, my friend. Thank you for joining us. We will see you next week.
Ring the bell. That does it for us this week. We hope you had a slamming good time, and be sure to join us next week for more in-ring action. This has been a presentation of Tricky Kid Media Originals, distributed by iHeartRadio, created and directed by Roy Turner. Edited and mastered by Marcus Miller. Theme music by The Buckpets. Original score by Jocelyn Hunt. Artwork by Antora Sandy. Marketing and PR by Francesca Miles. Tricky Kid Radio is hosted by Roy Turner with introductions by me, Dana French. Thanks for listening, and we hope you'll join us next week.